Another rough day on Wall Street as traders go from China to more impeachment talk. It's been quite a week, and it's just Thursday. In other business news today, days after telling striking UAW workers they would not be covered by healthcare, GM today reversed course. Mobile, Alabama is much different today when I was there in January, and I'll share why. The Social Security raise might not be such a big thing this year. Peloton did not have a good day. Those stories and more. Plus, from my time in Johnston, Iowa, you'll meet Jim DeCreif, who is with First Point. That's a division of First National Bank. Keeping it local today. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Business News Headlines. Grateful that you have clicked through again today. You want to reach us on Twitter? You can do that. We are at @IOB_NewsHour. Well, the markets reacted to the latest round of troubles for President Trump as the text of the whistleblower was made available today. All of it looks like there is going to be a showdown on Capitol Hill sooner than later. Meanwhile, Wall Street is dealing with a slowing European economy, big questions about consumers in this country, trade with China, and now more impeachment talk. The Dow started the day up, but as the morning went on, plunged by over 150 points. In the final hours, the Dow clawed back, closing down over 78 points, while the NASDAQ fell by over 0.5%, and the S&P 500 was off by 0.2. In an about-face, General Motors now says striking workers will get company-paid health insurance 9 days after telling the union that coverage would be cut off. The automaker said in an emailed letter to the United Auto Workers that it will keep benefits in place due to, quote, significant confusion, end quote, among the members. The change in policy came after workers howled and GM received withering criticism from politicians and on social media about cutting off the benefits. Now, it's not clear how the rhetoric or the health care issue would affect contract talks aimed at ending the strike by 49,000 workers that has shut down manufacturing for nearly 2 weeks at more than 30 GM plants across the nation. It is normal procedure in strikes for the cost of health care to shift from the company, which is largely self-insured, to the union. It says on the union website that the UAW will pick up the cost of premiums, but the timing of when GM ends the health care and when the union takes over is all at issue. The UAW said the benefits lapsed, but did not give a date. You know, when I was on assignment in Mobile, Alabama this past January, I had the chance to visit with community leaders about the economy there. Mobile, Alabama was humming, and they had just secured a new manufacturing plant for Airbus that would employ hundreds of workers. Well, today, folks in Mobile are worried that if President Trump opens up another front of its trade war, this time with Europe, the shine might leave this charming town. The conflict with China has already caused a collapse in grain exports from Mobile. A slowdown in the global economy would hit outbound shipments of metallurgical coal that accounts for about 12 million of the 28 million tons of goods that pass through the port annually. In early October, the Trump administration is expected to roll out tariffs on imports from the European Union. And if that happens, it will be another blow to Alabama. Why? Because the EU is the state's largest foreign investor. German companies alone have spent $8.5 billion since 1999, according to Alabama's Secretary of Commerce. 82 German companies have operations in the state, along with 51 French businesses and more than two dozen based in the United Kingdom. You know, each year the Social Security Administration takes a look at something called the Cost of Living Adjustment, or COLA. The experts say that adjustment likely won't raise much next year, and retirees may not feel like there's any change at all, especially a positive one. The COLA for 2020 won't be announced until next month, but one analyst expects just a 1.6% adjustment next year. That's down from 2.8% in the past year. The 1.6 adjustment would amount to roughly $23 a month for someone receiving the average retirement benefit of $1,460 a month. Two of the fastest growing expenses for retirees are out-of-pocket prescription drug expenses and Medicare Part B premiums. And the latter has the potential to wipe out any COLA increase at all. Well, this was a stunner. Peloton Interactive tumbled by more than 11% today after raising nearly $1.2 billion in its U.S. IPO this week. Thus, the company became the largest unprofitable startup to fail to win over investors in its trading debut. Peloton's shares opened today at $27 and closed at $25.76. It marks the third worst trading debut in 10 years here in the United States for companies that have raised at least $1 billion, all that according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Peloton wasn't supposed to be the only high-profile startup to begin trading in the NASDAQ this week. The listing by WeWork, renamed WeCo, has been expected to raise about $3.5 billion, but now co-founder Adam Neumann has resigned as chief executive officer, and the company will likely put off an IPO until at least next year. You think things aren't changing? Consider this story from CNBC. The first gas station in the United States that has been completely transitioned from a petroleum station to exclusively charging electric vehicles opened today in Tacoma Park, Maryland. RS Automotives, the local gas station that's been around since 1958, changed everything. Dipswar Doli, owner of the station since 1997, said he was already unhappy with the way oil and gasoline companies structure contracts, like limiting the use of multiple suppliers, including clauses that extend contracts when a certain volume of sales is not met, and limiting maintenance support. Those factors already were pushing him to consider other options. Well, now it's all about convenience and electric vehicles, as gas pumps at the station have been shut down. The station will feature four dispensers that connect to a high-powered 200-kilowatt system. Now, the system will allow four vehicles to charge simultaneously and reach 80% battery charge in about 20 to 30 minutes or so. Drivers can go inside and sit in an automated convenience store with screens that allow drivers to track their vehicle's charging progress. Times they are a-changing. And finally, there's this. According to a study that looked at Census Bureau data, women-owned businesses accounted for the biggest increase in new companies from 2014 to 2019. While new businesses grew by 9% over those 5 years, those with women at the helm increased by, get this, 21%. The gains are even starker for women of color, who started firms at close to five times the pace of all business owners across the United States. And the city that leads the nation in the creation of new businesses run by women? That would be Detroit. Go home, team. The number of female-owned businesses has nearly doubled in the past years in the Motor City, going from 157,000 in 2012 to 358,000 this year. That represents the largest increase among the top metropolitan communities in the nation. When we come back, I had a speaking engagement in Johnston, Iowa. That's a community of over 18,000 people that's adjacent to Des Moines. After my presentation, I asked if anybody from the Johnston Chamber would like to share the microphone with me for a short segment about their business. And Jim DeCrife with First Point Wealth Management, that's a division of First National Bank, said he was in. And so Jim will be in if you'll just click ahead.